All right, everyone, I think we're ready to go. Welcome to City of Iqaluit Finance Committee of the Whole Meeting Number 1, September 25. We have Andrew Diella and Litia Katsuk interpreting tonight. Thank you both for coming. We'll have just a single item on the agenda. We just need to adopt that agenda, so I'd seek a motion. Councillor Tilley moves, Councillor Glucock seconds. Any comments to the agenda? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Moving straight down to new business and the 2026 draft capital budget. Administration's taken all of our comments and our strategic plans and developed a pretty fulsome and I'd say healthy capital budget for 2026 that we're excited to hear about tonight. And I will turn the floor over to Peter Tumulty, Senior Director of Finance or Corporate Services, to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, everyone. So tonight we are presenting the 2026 draft capital budget for your review. You'll note that we're actually presenting this a few months earlier than normal, and you know, the idea is that we will be able to facilitate the tendering of all the projects that are listed in here well in advance of CLEAF and the, you know, the construction seasons. We are able to bring this to this early, primarily due to a lot of hard work and dedication from Mr. Bill Williams and his public works and engineering teams, as well as Kevin Kerr here, the Director of Engineering and Capital Projects, who's seated to my left. So you'll note, looking at the big spreadsheet, that overall, this capital plan is bigger than it was last year. And I know we've talked about, you know, how large the plans are and the ability to manage the projects and the complexities and just the vast numbers of them. So it's about $12 million more on the budget side, about 16.7% over last year. But looking at it from the sources and uses of the funds, the contribution from the city, so this is our own money that we're investing into the capital plan, rose from $26 million to $30 million, but stable at about 36 to 37%. So that indicates that we're continuing to leverage our funding with federal sources in a stable manner. The GN contributions sort of rose from about $8.8 million from last year, then it declined to about $6 million due to the finalization of like things like the waste transfer station, so the ICIP agreements. Those sorts of funding are not coming in anymore because those projects are done. The largest increase we're going to see year over year is through the Government of Canada contributions, and that's primarily through the DMAF, or what we call Long-Term Water Project. That's the Disaster Mitigation Adaptation Fund. And we're expecting revenues to flow in an additional $10 million to support the capital investments that we're doing in critical water infrastructure. So one of the reasons for a slightly larger capital plan this year than last is, and besides, you know, we're getting better at generating our estimates for the construction work that we're actually doing, is related to the DMAF projects. So because DMAF, it's, first of all, it's fully funded, 100% funded through the federal government, but it's only related to water-related projects. So when we're dealing with infrastructure in the city and we're digging up piping to fix and repair, DMAF will cover the water portions of it. But if there are sewer-related projects that can be done at the same time, it makes sense to do those concurrently so you're not digging the same thing up twice. So that does, in a lot of cases, since that's not funded from the feds, that money comes from the city funds, so that you see a bit of an uptick on city funds to support that concurrent activity with the DMAF funding. The first thing I'll mention about the fiscal framework in which we are fitting the capital budget in.
Sorry, Peter, can you just explain what DMAF is for?
Sorry, Disaster Mitigation Adaptation Fund. Sorry. But we'll just call it long-term water project. It flips off the tongue a little bit easier. Okay. So when we present the capital budget, it's a little different than presenting the operating budget, which is typically revenues and expenses, because again, this is cash investments into infrastructure projects. And the bridge from that into the income statement is through annual depreciation. So this is more like a cash flow budget process where we're estimating what we're actually going to be spending as opposed to what we're going to be, quote, expensing. So in order to create a framework within the budget will fit in, sorry, I'm getting mixed up with my language there, we have to be able to estimate what our year-end fund balances are going to look like for 2025 to show that what the opening balances for 2026 will be. So when you see the spreadsheet, that's what we have across the top. These are our sort of starting balances for the money we have available in each of the different funds and in each of the funding sources that we have access to. And then we estimate what capital revenues might look like for each of those funds and from each of those funding sources. In addition, we also have to estimate what our capital expenses are likely to be through 2025. And what our depreciation and other costs might be that would affect those fund balances. So because we're doing it a little bit earlier than we have in the past, those numbers have a bit of a more range with respect to the estimate. So a little bit more judgment has to be made on determining how we're going to project to the end of the year. Pardon me. So in this case, we've taken a more conservative approach. Normally, we would see the capital budget not fully expended by the end of the year, and we would have carryovers and into the next year. And typically, if we're at about 70 or 80% expended, that's about normal. What we've done, because of the fact that we're doing it earlier this year, we're going to assume that the capital budget is going to be fully expended. So when we overestimate our expenses like that we're doing, and the fund balances that we arrive at by underestimating some of our revenues as well support the capital plan as presented, we know that we have reasonable assurance that the plan is robust enough to support any kind of financial shocks that we might have along the way to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. So we built in some robust flexibility into this plan to allow for potential cost overruns in that. And once we do that, if we estimate and overestimate what the expenses are and underestimate what the revenues, and the budget still fits within that framework, then we're pretty comfortable that we'll be able to afford and support that capital plan throughout the year. And then on a final note, with respect to budgeting and the budgeting process, we will be bringing the operating budget to your attention in either late October or early November. It'll still be a little bit earlier than in the previous year, but at that time, if there are any major changes in any of the estimates supporting the capital budget, we can also bring new information for council to consider, and if changes have to be made, we'd have that opportunity as well at that time before the year happens, before the fiscal year starts. Okay, so what I'd like to do next is to then review the budget in an overview section by section. And you'll notice that we have a map up which has some highlights and some numbers. And these are I'm going to turn this over to Kevin in a few minutes to explain the audiovisual presentation that we have here. So it'll be, as we go along with the budget, you'll be able to see where a lot of these projects are going to be located within the bounds of the city. So moving on to the first section.
Just before we go on, Peters, for one second,
sure.
Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, do you have a question there?
I was going to say Deputy Mayor, but Councillor Shepherd. Just a clarification before we proceed. Trying to understand it clearer. We are talking about strictly capital projects. Some of these seem to be part of O&M. In my view, and some of them are existing projects or existing projects that require additional not additional funding, but continuously. Are these, some of these are all new? For example, I'm just looking down here at Apex Bridge, 300. How much was it? For example, there was a Apex Bridge improvement. So I'm just trying to get a clarification. On the capital projects. Can I get a definition of what term they're using for capital projects? You did explain it, Peter, but I'm a little confused. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. So a couple of points then. With respect to the Apex Bridge replacement, that $350,000 was from the 2025 budget. There's no amounts in the 2026 column, which is the second column. So that's not part of the plan for this year, but what I tried to do was show last year's plan and this year's plan and how they compare. Now, as far as capital projects go, we have been trying to move, as you rightly point out, things that probably belong in the operation side of it out of the capital plan as much as possible. We've been trying to use the definition of like capital acquisitions, so purchase of machinery and equipment. But when we get into like design work for projects, like if it's capital earthworks and infrastructure repair work and like physical project things, those are what we consider to be primarily capital projects. Sometimes we have things like that are strategic plans and studies that sometimes can be capitalized, but whether they're true capital assets or not, and whether they need to be included in this budget or rolled into the operations. We have been, every year, we sort of go through the list again, and we do filter them out. We may not get them all correctly, but we have been trying to move, and there's several of these that have been moved to operating this year as well. And I know we moved over a dozen projects off the capital plan last year into operating, just because they obviously, you know, even on the face of it, were more operating costs and not true construction of long-term tangible capital assets. Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, so looking at section one, what we were doing last year, we were trying to introduce the concept of capital carryovers. The fact that when council approved a budget in a certain year, if the money wasn't all spent, it technically lapses. But the planning process had sort of just assumed that that money just kept coming along. So we had to set up a process where if you needed that extra money in the next year, you actually had to ask for it. And so we did sort of separate it and show it separately. This year we have included the capital carryovers in the actual requests in the project lines, because we didn't want to have duplicate, have 1,500 carryovers and the same 1,500 accounts showing the actual expenses. So as presentation goes, we may look at maybe creating an extra column and showing the carryover portion versus the actual amount and combining it. But this year we decided to just see if we could just do it this way and if that made sense. There'll be a couple of items that will be obviously carryovers, like the fire truck for $1.8 million. We knew we were going to carry it all over because we had to get the budget passed in order to order it, but it'll take a year for that thing to show up. So that, so we just showed it, as the full amount into the next year. So we're not going to use that section, and next year that will disappear. So I will do a quick overview of each of the sections. So section one is city facility improvements. These are covering five projects for about $5.8 million. The largest one there, you'll notice, is a garage storage for new equipment. This was envisioned under the plan when we improved and increased the water rates. And as we continuously increase the size of the water and sewer truck fleet, we'll need an additional garage to house those vehicles. So this is now something that's been in the design phase and may move into construction in 2026. The second section, vehicle purchases for about $3.2 million. Again, that's a little bit smaller than last year. We got a lot of purchases done, and so the equipment lists are smaller. We do have, as you can see, the sewer and water trucks are, again, we're purchasing one of each, and it shows that we continue to do so for the next couple of years. These things have a useful service life of about 7 years, so every 7 years we will evergreen the fleet. Now I'm going to turn it over to Kevin, because we're going to get into, these are the infrastructure-related projects. So we're talking about roads and pipes and buildings and that, and he'll explain how we'll be following along with what's on the map and what you can glean from our attempt to provide a contextual audiovisual accompaniment to me rambling on about a bunch of numbers and columns. So I'll just turn it over if that's okay with the chair.
Thank you, Peter, and good evening, everyone. I try not to ramble on, but the idea is just to give you a bit of background and how we prepare the capital budget and the visual aid that I think was a request from council to get a better sense of where the capital programs are, capital projects are. So RICO and the planning department has put this together. We've tried to number and identify the projects, and they're primarily drainage, water, wastewater projects that are buried. A little harder to know where a project from AV 341 to 335 is. So hopefully this will be beneficial. The other thing we thought we would do is just provide a little bit of background into how we develop priorities and how we come up with the capital plan. So there's a number of things that we look at. Obviously the age of the infrastructure, if something's getting near the end of its life cycle, that's a red flag. We look at development that's either coming online or proposed to come online and what kind of demand that might put on our infrastructure. There's a fair bit of conversation between departments, so operational issues that Public Works might identify get kind of thrown into the mix as well. We're looking at modeling the wastewater collection system and the water distribution system. And on the wastewater side, that'll give us some indication of where lines are at or near capacity, hopefully before they become a major issue, and we can start to plan for that. And on the water side, it's more about flow and pressure and how do we address areas that may have low flow, low pressures. And those are two tools that we're using, trying to identify some of the areas that need to be upgraded before they fail. The other thing we've done is we're flushing our sanitary sewer lines, and we're video inspecting them to try and get a better sense of what's underground. And part of the logic there is, you know, it's one thing to model it and say, okay, that's at capacity, but if you don't video it or you don't look at it, it could be something that maybe with a bit of maintenance can be corrected before you spend a ton of money on capital improvements. And the other thing that you know, I didn't talk about earlier, but we do, it's regulatory requirements. So there is, you know, regulatory requirements that the city has to operate under, and that can have an impact on what needs to get done and when. So that's kind of a high-level just overview of some of the things that we think about when we're putting together the capital plan, in that it's a combined effort. And probably the one thing that I didn't mention that's probably most critical is how much money do we have and what can we afford? So, you know, another ball to throw into the mix, and hope that's beneficial.
Just before we move on, Councillor Kunuk, do you have a question?
Yes. Clean the meat, sort of.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No. There are two 2025 columns. One is for final, one is still ongoing, I guess, plan amount. That's for this year, right? This year?
Yeah, the 2025 column is what we budgeted last year for this fiscal year. So that's the money that we're spending this year. The 2026 column, the second column, is what we're discussing tonight. We're making a plan for next year.
Okay. But I have a question for the final one. But Victor Road Extension point 0.24, did we extend it to Victor Road? 0.24 Federal Road Extension. Did we extend the road?
I think I can answer that one. The Federal Road Extension was the extension of the water service on Federal Road out towards the new public works facility, and that was just to carry over to tidy up this year what needs to be done, and that project's completed.
Okay, my another question is that the 2.04 four new shoe garbage truck. This year, final. Did we buy 4 garbage trucks?
No, we only got 2, right?
Thank you, Councillor Kunick, and thank you, Chair. So just to clarify, we originally last year looked at potentially 4 new garbage trucks, which Council decided to go down to 2. And we didn't put those in this year's budget. Those other 2, we did receive 2 this year on the second sea lift, which are now in operation. Thank you.
Alter Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Just to get clarification, I like the comment. I like the color chart. My question is towards, as we go through it, which is there a color chart for multiple new projects to be highlighted beside one of them somewhere, or am I ahead of myself? If you understood what my question was. Yeah. Thank you. Just to make sure that I'm in track of understanding where we are. Some of them are multi-year projects based on what I understand, and some of them may not be, so just trying to get a clarification. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. We haven't added that element to it yet. So we're just showing the projects that are in the current year. But you're right, some of them are multi-year, so we'll work on a way to try and indicate what that might look like in the next iteration of this. But it's a great suggestion. Thank you for that. Okay. So as we go through the next several sections on infrastructure, we will be changing the overlay. So there will be section 3, and all of the section 3 projects will be shown on the screen. Then we go to section 4, and it'll change, and it'll show all the section 4 projects. As we go through the presentation and then we're finished, as we have questions about any specific projects, we'll be able to zoom in directly for those projects, and you can see more fully where it is and what areas it's impacting. So moving on to section 5. So these are, or sorry, section 3. So we're talking about drainage and road improvements. So we have 5 projects for about $6.25 million, and there is in this section the introduction of a multi-year, and here's a multi-year project, a multi-year paving program. So we are planning to start 2 separate paving projects, one on the Apex Road and one on the Plateau Phase 1 subdivision, so connecting the road that goes to the power plant to the plateau. These are the areas where most of the washboarding and that kind of stuff happens, so they're the most concerning and safety-wise, so they're going to tackle those first. And then every year, additional paving will be done, and then once those projects are complete, then they'll look at potentially adding additional areas for paving based on priorities. Moving on to section 5. So now we have wastewater system upgrades, about $15.3 million, and it covers projects related to sewer and wastewater improvements. 2 projects are worth commenting on. Project 5.14, which is the Astro Hill project, and that's a major undertaking to deal with the water and sewer lines under there. Some of that is covered through DMAF, the water part of it, and some of it is covered by city funds for the sewer side, and there is a negotiation going on with a cost share agreement with Nunistar and the Astro Hill folks. Okay, well, maybe there's only one worth talking about. Anyway, that's for section 5. Moving on to section 6, water system upgrades. And again, these projects are targeting directly for the water treatment plant to improve the operations of that. And then section 8 for about $43 million. This is the big one. This is where we're dealing with the Disaster Mitigation Adaptation Fund, or a long-term water project. So there's 2 components. One is to deal with the infrastructure, and one is to deal with the reservoir, or the creation or expansion of the reservoir. So we have $43 million allocated for this year's budget over several projects. Obviously, the major one is the raw water intake supply and storage, which is reservoir work, and that's kicking off at $24 million this year, and that will be, you'll see some major construction work done up there. on section 9. So we have the dam safety management program. There's only one project here, and you're all familiar with it. This is a carryover from the previous capital plan, the valve intake replacement. So that's, that is the one thing that we need to get finished for this year in that project. Section 13, it's server upgrades for about $150,000. It looks like we'll have to do that over 2 years as we increase our server capacity and deal with, I won't say obsolescence, but as these servers age, they do need to be replaced. And then section 15, strategic plans and studies. So we got about $4.1 million. They're not really plans. Like, they were plans, and now they're actual projects. So they haven't been moved out of that area, but to give you an example, the high school intersection, that's the installation of traffic lights. So that's actually, the study was the traffic study, and now we're actually moving into the construction of dealing with the results of that study. Then the West 40 subdivision is, they were studies on how to get that developed, and now we're going to be working on getting them developed. So there will actually be, capital construction, earthworks, and that kind of stuff happening over there to get those areas ready. And then the final section, we have a project under the Housing Accelerator Fund. This is federal funding from CMHC. And this is a project to design the work to deal with the section between manhole 23 and pump station 2. So if you have no idea where that is, it's right up there on the map. So that's down, close down by the breakwater. So the total capital plan as presented is $83 million based on our estimates. We have the resources to support this, and we believe that it addresses a lot of the critical infrastructure needs that the city's been grappling with over the last several years, and we feel that it's a robust enough plan to move us into a good year of construction and accomplishment, and then set those projects up as they're multi-year, a lot of them, into 27 and 28. So I will now turn it back to you, Mr. Chair, and open the floor for questions on specific projects. We'd be more than happy to answer whatever you need. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. It's exciting to see, first and foremost, the water project moving forward. I understand that the $23 million allocated this year will see awarding the contract to expand or create a new reservoir for our water supply. That has been a long time coming, and it's exciting to see that project start moving forward in a tangible way outside of the piped infrastructure itself. Excited about the paving as well. The one item in here, I believe it's $500,000 this year for a cemetery building, is starting to lay the groundwork for the provision of a funeral home in Iqaluit, something that we can build and expand on in the coming years to, look for additional opportunities to bring funeral support staff to town to provide services for our residents. One question I do have, just on the wastewater expansion project, at which point will we be able to keep developing without the need for accessory storage tanks? And at what part of town will we have accomplished by this time next year, allowing development to proceed without requiring those accessory storage tanks?
Thank you, Chair. So most of the particular questions around storage tanks is very much development by development. So our engineering team works with different consultants as well as the proponents of those projects to look at the sizing and the scope. So without getting to a specific section, I can't firmly answer you here today, and I don't think engineering can either. But that said, this particular plan looks at addressing all those issues, but they're gradually, and some of that will be into, you know, 27, 28, but certain areas may come online faster depending on the actual tender packages and obviously the ability to execute the work based on contractors and consultant reports. Thank you.
Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Shepherd. Thank you for the staff and management for providing this preliminary budget plan early, which is excellent because some of those will have to go out for public tender. Just a couple of questions on IT. Where am I? 13. It has been my understanding that your dispatch equipment is out of date, and in the past, for the newer buildings, for example, for our new building, they have upgraded to the new system, but our new system doesn't communicate with the city's IT dispatch. So nowadays we have to have a remake arrangement for to go down south. That's the information we were told from your group that dispatch, we can't take your call. Ours don't engage with yours because ours are out of date. Has that been ever taken to consider to look at it? And another question I have is, when were you planning for pavement for Apex and Plateau? And it happens so often where new pavement is done, next thing you know, it's cut off because you have to do some repairs or add something. And I think that's why I was always pushing for a capital master plan so we know what is going in that area. How did you determine that Apex and Plateau are the right places to put to pave? Another one I have is 15.15. As we know, we had a lot of issues this summer regarding Schultz Lagoon. And I could, looking at it, it does not start till 2027 and 2028 in the plan. How do you prioritize your capital planning when we know for a fact, and I think 98 or 100% of the Halumi were complaining about Suez Lagoon for a month and a half in July and August. So how do you determine, would that be considered a priority down the road? What is there any chance of moving up a little further up and instead of starting on in 2 years from now? Those are my, and last one is 8.11.
Four questions is just too many for one. We'll come back to you once we get a couple of the answers to the first ones. It's just, we should just do one question at a time just so that administration can respond. I'll come right back to you after the answers to the existing ones.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Firstly, on the dispatch issues, that's the first I've heard of that currently being an issue, but I may let Steve England, the CAO, speak to that, and then I can comment on your other two.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, ADM Flaherty. I'm not aware of any specific issues either. If there's people having issues, encourage them to reach out. We'll walk them through. That being said, the system we use is called Silent Night. It's used by the GN. It's used by numerous other organizations outside of the city. We are planning upgrades to that system this year. So I'm not sure if that's the same particular issue or not, but encourage whoever it is to reach out to us, and we'll go through it to ensure. But there is an upgrade plan for the Silent Night system for this year.
Thank you. So as far as the where to start paving, so first and foremost, we listened to obviously the council members in this room, and Apex and Plateau have been coming out of this room for quite a long time. But also looking from a safety perspective, first and foremost. So we know both of these particular spots, if you can see on the map. I don't know, Reiko, if you can zoom in on the Apex one. You can see here, as many in the room know, that that particular stretch gets the most degraded in weather conditions, and it's very challenging to maintain and becomes a safety issue. So that is the first and foremost priority. Regarding the developments or cut-ins and stuff, we don't predict that will be an issue in that section particularly. Not an area that's has any active or in phase development permits on our file. Into the plateau section, again, same very much reasoning is that first little bit, especially by Value Farm, kind of making the turn, gets degraded quite a bit and is becomes a safety concern. And it's a priority for our crews to maintain. So also this section is fully developed from the original concept of Plateau. So we don't have any concerns there for any cut-ins or abilities. You'll also note that in on section 2, particularly 2.14, the asphalt crack sealing machine, part of that is also to do and make sure we can maintain this new pavement and any dealing with some of the cut-ins or any issues in the whole city, as well as dealing with the hot patch with the asphalt crack sealing at the same time to make those repairs last. The third question, I think, was the lagoon, and it was 14.3. So you'll notice there's 400,000 put in this year's 2026 plan. That'll be mainly the design and engineering work, the front end work, that'll then be for a capitalized project in 2027 around aeration. And so there's the planning work on that and the engineering side can be capitalized, hence why we showed it in the capital plan. And 2027, we plan on having action on the aeration side. On the operations side, you may see some budget requests and operations also regarding the lagoon, but more so on the dredging, which is more of an O&M compared to the aeration, which is actually a capital project. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I'd just like to quickly add back to the paving for a moment that we have a master drainage plan that was produced some years ago that we're following in conjunction with this paving project as well. So it's not just pavement. There will be improvements made to the drainage in the areas that we're paving to safeguard the pavement as best we can. Thank you.
Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, you want to continue on? Go ahead.
Shepard, one more question is that on 811, critical pipeline renewal. Just want to get a clarification. What do we mean by critical pipeline renewal and the location, if you have it? Thank you.
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. So for clarification on critical pipeline renewal, so with long-term water project, which is funded, some of these particular projects are very, very specific longer sections between AVs that we visualized earlier. These particular ones on the critical ones are kind of, we have a particular zone that we're dealing with, but they're maybe not long stretches. They're individual renewals and patches that we're doing. So we've tried to highlight here the sections that are impacted, but these are funded under the long-term water project and in areas that we've had historic issues or also have studies and modeling from Kevin or older parts of our system that may not necessarily be full section repairs, but we're looking at kind of targeted based on Public Works' particular experience on having issues in those areas. Thank you.
Councillor Stevenson?
Thank you, Chairperson Shepherd. I have two questions. I'll ask them and then you can answer them. I think it might be two different people. The first is, I don't see any capital costs related to the waste transfer station or the new landfill, so I'm assuming then that that means those two capital projects are finished, and does that mean that they'll be operationalizing those assets this year? And the second question is that there's no capital costs that I can see for a new fire hall. I see an improvement to the current fire hall. Is that no longer a priority, and are we no longer planning for that cost?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So first on the waste transfer station and landfill, those projects were finalized in the 2025. There's a few final sign-offs and things to happen on those for handoff, but for the most part, they're completed. As far as operational, we'll dive into that more on the operational budget itself. But currently the landfill, as per our superintendent of solid waste, there's about 12 to 18 months left in the existing one. The new system is a bail system, obviously, that council's approved. The existing system is just a cover and fill. So we can't be bailing at the new station and putting it to the existing landfill, but we want to maximize that landfill that we currently have to its maximum capacity before we start using the new one. So there will be a phased-in approach that we will be bringing into council at a later date. And we'll probably have some more discussions on the operational budget. But currently, that existing landfill will continue to run until it reaches its end of life, and then we'll phase into the new landfill. But no capital expenditures for those two items in the 2026 budget. As far as capital for the fire hall, currently that budget is for repairs at the existing. As far as planning for a new fire hall, we have no secured funding at this date to allocate to it or necessarily drafted or even feasibility plans for a new one. You can let the CIO speak to that further, but at this time, from a capital planning standpoint within engineering, there's still a bit to go to start adding it to a capital plan at this stage.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Just to add a little bit on the fire department, we do have funding secured, $500,000 to sit with council and go through a infrastructure plan. The current plan is expired. So we want to kick that off in your October workshop. We're working quite busily to get ready for that, and that discussion could take place. There's also a study that was done late last year on the question that got asked on behalf of administration and the fire department is, are we better off with a new fire department? Are we better off with a satellite fire department? There's a whole bunch of options there to explore. So we want to bring all that information back to you in that workshop and start to work on the new infrastructure plan. I also want to add, the fire chief and the fire department need to be a big voice in that discussion as well. With the new fire chief in place, they've certainly hit the ground running over there. And right now, the big thing with the fire department will be addressed with the monies that are in this draft budget for your consideration. And we also got 901, the old city hall, that there's a tremendous amount of opportunities to add into the discussion there as well. And the fire chief would be quite excited to come along and talk to you all about that when we get to that. Thank you.
Councillor Tilley, I think you're next.
Thank you, Chair. First question or clarification would be for the Astro Hill infrastructure upgrades, so 5.14 and 8.2. Both have 6.5 million wrote down. Are those two separate? I know one's for wastewater, one's for... long-term water supply. Are they different numbers or are they duplicate numbers? Okay.
Everyone wants to tackle this. thank you for the question, Councillor Tilley. These are the same project, but the budget has been split between the water portion that's being funded through the DMAF and the portion that's being funded through city funds through for the wastewater side of it, which isn't eligible for funding under the long-term water. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. And my other question is there is quite, it's quite, there's big numbers in here for 2026. And I'm, for various projects, where the these numbers, did administration go out for a request for quotation? Or were these best guess numbers?
So the estimates are a combination of estimates that we have from consultants for work that's ongoing. So Astro Hill, for instance, is probably at the 50% design stage, so it would be a rough estimate that the consultant has provided. Others would be estimates that we developed based on previous experience. So, you know, we have tender results that we look at and say, okay, based on what the contractor's costs are, what our design costs are, this is what the total project cost is, and we come up with a budget number. You know, for lineal infrastructure, we come up with a kind of cost per meter that we use to come up with an estimate that we're comfortable with for budget purposes.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Councillor, for your question. Kevin's quite modest, and I jump on supporting the team whenever we can. The city is building back a pretty strong team, and there's also a lot of experience, many, many years of experience in some of those positions. So a mix of what Kevin said, and the team is also getting a lot stronger. There's a lot of experience sitting around the table. Thank you.
And Councillor Tilley, follow up, go ahead.
No.
Thanks. Did you turn your mic on again, or did you come back to you? No, you're good. Any other comments, questions, changes, additions? Councillor Kunup, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. Looking at the solid waste project, my first question is, are we going to have an incinerator in that new solid waste?
Thank you, Councillor Kunick, for your question. So this year in the capital budget, we have no budgeted items for the solid waste. In regards to other processes like incineration or gasification, we're actually working with Capstone Group from Future Cities Institute with the University of Waterloo on doing some feasibility on micro gasification or potentially incineration and the regulatory and kind of the desktop study of that, which is really great for us to work with kind of one of the leading edge universities and multidisciplinary team on that. Based on that, if council is interested and based on what that recommendation is, we would then potentially look at that, but at this time it's not in our capital forecasts, or we haven't also gotten direction to do so either from council or been asked to include that at this time. Thank you.
Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Oh, Councillor Kunup, do you have a follow-up? Sorry.
Sure. Reason why I asked that if we are not going to be burning garbage again, even the burnables, it's just going to build up like we have right now. I think it's good to plan incinerator. If you have seen incinerators in Greenland, Nuuk, and things like that, they actually works very well, I understand. And also, heats a lot of houses from that incinerator. Just the common.
I like the idea too, and with the study work underway, I look forward to reading what it says. But from everything I've read so far, we don't generate enough garbage to have a incinerator. We'd have to actually import garbage from other communities as well. So there's a lot of work that need to go into that. It's definitely, you know, with the project underway to, you know, examine that. I look forward to the results. Bill, go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, Councillor Shepherd. Just to clarify also for Councillor Kunick, the new waste transfer station has a biomass boiler in it. So any of the combustibles that are able to be used, so a lot of the wood products and things like that, are chipped and used to heat that building, which it's quite a large building. So when it is operational and we move to that phase, that is part of that. So we are, I wouldn't say incinerating, because that's a different process, but we are using biomass heat generation. So it isn't totally going to waste. We are doing part of that process already, and going to be doing part of that process. So just wanted to clarify that for the council. Thank you.
Last fall, you're good? Okay. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Green to me. Call for Shepherd. Since this proposal, budget is around $83 million, and next year is $81 million. For this year, what percentage of the budget, proposed budget, is coming out of existing projects or exterior funding? And what percentage of the budget is the ratepayers and homeowners will be expected to pay, or does the city have its reserve funds that will be able to handle the amount that has been identified? Thank you.
Peter, go ahead.
Thank you for the question. I'll turn to Deputy Mayor Flaherty. The percentages, so of the total budget, the 83, 56% is coming from the federal government, 7.25% is coming from the GN, and 36.52% is coming from the city funds. And to answer your second question, yes, as I mentioned earlier, when we were developing the cash flow framework in which this budget sits inside, we do have adequate current reserves and cash flow to pay for it. So the revenues that we receive on an operating side from property taxes and water and sewer rates are sufficient to continue to fund the cash flow to support the capital program. So, okay, thank you.
Councillor Luca.
No, thank you. As always, I keep learning new things about capital funds, revenue, and all that fun stuff. But I'm a little bit more public safety mindset, I guess. The plateau paving, as we all know, that current road right now slows down traffic, and the paving is probably going to make a lot of people happy that live on the plateau that have to drive through there 3-4 times a day. But I wonder if it's part of the project to put in like safety measures, because more often than not, I do take that back road from my place on the plateau, and I've been nearly T-bone more often than not when people come down that road. A lot of people don't stop. So I wonder if there's going to be safety measures in place when it comes to paving that road. People are more likely going to be speeding down that road since they don't have to worry about all those bumps. I know that on the right side going down plateau, looking over to the queues and the daycare area, there's that metal railing. I wonder if there's going to be something added into that that's at the on the other side of that stop sign across from the pharmacy that could maybe prevent potential situations. I don't want them to happen, but there's more likely going to be more people speeding down that road once paved. Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Glucker. So just to be, I guess, to clear, the capital part is the paving, the ditching, the kind of meat and potatoes, so to speak. The traffic calming measures typically come out of our operations and maintenance budget. So as you can see, recently all the speed bumps just got pulled up, which is ahead of the winter because we don't want them to freeze in. But that's an annual program with our Public Works Department. So any of the traffic calming side of this will fall under operations and will most likely be budgeted into the 2027 operations because we won't be implementing those in 2026 until the capital project's complete. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Councillor, for your question. I did, in Tuesday's meeting, I did say I was having a meeting with the RCMP, and that was related to a different topic. That meeting went ahead, and we also talked about traffic enforcement within the city. So I extended our concern with municipal enforcement, which would appear, and it's not absolute, being the only, if not the primary, agency that's providing traffic enforcement within the city. So our RCMP were quite receptive to that conversation, and we'll continue to build on that. So one would hope with more enforcement, there'd be more safer drivers within the city. So we'll keep working on that, and we will report back in future council meetings on it as well. Thank you.
It'll save the city money. You can take the speed bumps from near my house and put them on the plateau. Just don't ever bring them back. Don't want to drag my boat over those anymore. Always looking out for the best interest of the city. Any other comments, questions, additions, changes? Anybody willing to make a motion to recommend approval of the capital budget as presented? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty moves. Councillor Stevenson seconds. Any final comments, questions? Seeing. Oh, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, go ahead.
Shepherd, no, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank the staff, management, in preparing and proposed capital plan in advance. And just want to thank them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and definitely second those comments. You know, you look at the number of projects that were undertaken in 2025, it was a lot, and to have accomplished as much as it did this year, looking at a smaller number of projects with a few larger ones with the water project advancing in 2026, I'm excited about some of the progress, so looking forward to seeing what comes of it. Seeing no other comments or questions, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much. And last but not least, I'll call for a motion to adjourn. Councillor Tilley moves. Councillor Stevenson seconds. Nobody's going to comment or question on that. I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, interpreters.